Today, the topic is about love. And it comes from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given much to us. Today, in the celebration of the Christian year, is Trinity Sunday. The Sunday after Pentecost is always Trinity Sunday. The symbol that you see up on the screen is a symbol for the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three. So that's if I remember right, that's a Celtic symbol for the Trinity. There's no doubt in my mind that what this world needs is love. All I have to do is watch a news channel, read a newspaper, and see the happenings that are going on, and realize that this world needs love. And as my major professor always told us, that's especially the one thing that God has given to the church to give to this world: His love. God loved us so much that God did what? He gave His Son as an atonement for our sins, as a sacrifice for our sins, a sacrifice that was total and complete, a sacrifice that paid the penalty of our sins. And Scripture tells us in many places that it's only by accepting what Jesus Christ did for us that we can have salvation and atonement for our sins. I want to tell you that Romans is one of the most difficult books to study and understand. One, you don't see as much in the English, but Paul would never be able to pass high school English, because Paul loved to write run-on sentences. And he loved to put a comma and another phrase, and a comma and another phrase, and a comma and another part of a sentence, and a comma and another couple of words, and a comma and another part of a sentence. Many times what you see divided up in our scriptures as paragraphs is only one sentence for Paul. That's the way he wrote it in Greek, as he wrote this down. So sometimes as you look at this, it's kind of hard to pull it apart and say, Paul, what are you telling us? What are you sharing with us? What are you helping us to understand? Well, I'm going to boil some of this down, but not all of it, because we could spend probably the next 6 weeks just on these five verses, understanding everything that Paul has here. What I want you to know is this passage starts with a therefore, and therefore means you should be looking backwards if this is where you start reading, because if I go back a couple of verses, the words that was credited to him, verse 23 in chapter 4, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Can I take the word justification and make it really simple? God makes you right, is what justification is. By the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. God says, I'm going to take the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and because you believe what he did for you, I'm going to put it on you and make you right. You see, with an act of faith in Jesus Christ, we can have a right relationship with God. With an act of faith in Jesus Christ, we can have a right relationship with God. God puts the very righteousness of Jesus Christ on us, and now when God looks down upon us, God sees a righteous person once we believe in what Christ has done for us. It requires belief on your faith. And belief is not just acknowledging something. Belief is adhering to something, is to stepping deeper into it, is to walking in that way. And that's why I say, with an active faith, you can have a right relationship with God. This active faith is something that's about doing, about being involved and reaching out, about continuing to search deeper for a relationship with God. There are many people who have been to church in their life, have joined the church, have been baptized, have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and haven't been back since. That's not an act of faith. And an act of faith is not just coming and being present on Sundays. That's not an act of faith. An act of faith is being involved in the world and doing. Being involved in the world and reaching out. Being involved in the world and seeing what the world can teach you more about God. That's an act of faith. It takes some action on your part. It takes some reaching out on your part. It takes some continuing, some ongoing. That's why I love to do Bible studies like we're going to do 1 John on Sunday mornings. Because it puts me in the book of the Bible, and week by week I'm taking my time to look at all the verses that are there. Many Christians might know a favorite verse or two that they lean on all the time. Not a lot of Christians know where to find many verses. How do I know that? Pastor, where do you find that verse on? Pastor, where is there a good verse on? I've been many different places and watch people fumble with their Bible because they don't know how to turn to certain books. They don't know where to find it. To me, that is not an active faith. An active faith would know where the books of the Bible are, would know how to find them quickly, would know how to get to them and read them. With the resources that we have today, there's no excuse. With the resources that we have available to us today. And one of the things that Paul tells us in this passage is that a right relationship brings peace with God by grace. It brings peace with God. Now, what is peace? If you have six youngins running around the house, all below the age of 7, peace then becomes what?
Bedtime.
Eventually bedtime. Let me get there, okay? Because bedtime doesn't always happen at bedtime. But peace in that situation is quiet. Nobody calling out, nobody asking for something, nobody running around yelling and screaming. That's peace. What's peace in the Ukraine right now? Absence of conflict is what peace is there. Peace with God is being comfortable with knowing who God wants you to be and being that person. That's peace with God. And as Paul writes in the book of Philippians, he says that kind of peace overwhelms us so much that we can't even explain it. So I don't have words to tell you about that kind of peace. Because that kind of peace just overwhelms us, and it comes from God. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It just overwhelms you. You ever had that kind of peace? Even in the midst of a conflict, even in the midst of multiple people running around yelling, screaming, you can find peace. And this is the kind of peace that a right relationship with God. If you don't have that kind of peace in your life, what does it mean? You need to work more on your relationship with God. That's what it means. And it's by God's grace. Now, the very simplest definition of grace is not getting what you deserve. That's the very simplest definition. And God wants to give you that. Not getting what you deserve. Mercy is what? Mercy is not getting. Grace is getting what you don't deserve at all. That goes backwards there for a minute. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Okay? Mercy, I'm sorry, something happened up in here. I don't know what happened. It's okay? Thank you, sir. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And mercy is getting what not getting what you don't deserve.
Senior moment.
But if I let you go right now, you're going to expect that every week.
Yeah.
You see, it's by what Christ has done for us that God gives us riches that we don't deserve at all. Not at all. Now, one of the things that we need to learn from this passage that we don't like, I'm just going to put it out there, you don't like this. When we have peace with God, we then realize suffering brings us closer to God and builds hope. Most of the people I know will do everything they can not to suffer in the least little bit, no matter what. Amen? You guys believe that, right? Suffering doesn't come from God. Suffering is not helpful. Suffering is helpful. Pain is helpful. How do you learn not to put your hand on the burner on the stove? You do it once. And that pain taught you don't do that. Right? It was useful. Not ideal, but useful. You see, suffering is going to happen. There are those that will preach, if you have a right relationship with God, you will never suffer. And everything will work right for you, no matter what. Amen? You know, that's not true. But there are plenty of preachers that will tell people that. Get right with God and you'll never suffer again. What does Paul say here? Suffering helps us to get more right with God. Suffering helps us to get more right with God because it causes us to turn to God. It causes us to say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Suffering is not a bad thing in and of itself. Romans 8:28 is a verse that people love to quote the first half of. All things work together for good. No, they don't. Finish reading the verse. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to God's purpose. An act of faith. It doesn't automatically work together for good because you believe in God. If you don't believe me, go talk to Job. The scriptures say that Job never did anything wrong. And look at the suffering he went through. But also, look, he didn't have a passive faith. He had an active faith. He had active patience. He screamed at God for the problems in his life. Don't believe me? Go read the book. Make sure you're following when Job's talking. Because his three friends try to tell him, if you'll just confess your sin, God will take all the suffering away. And Job says, I never did. And he has problems of the worst kind. You see, suffering brings me closer to God. When things are not right, God, I need your help. When things are going well, how often do you stop and say, God, I need your help? Because we do need God's help then also, don't we? Well, we don't think about that. Think about drastic events in the course of the world. When a drastic event happens, what happens in churches? They're full for a couple of weeks. Suffering gives us an opportunity to turn to God. Now, all of this happens, and this is the verse that I want to center on. All of this happens because the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. I particularly like the way Eugene Peterson translates it or paraphrases. He says, we can't find enough containers to contain all the love that the Holy Spirit pours on us. Do you hear that? We can't find enough containers to contain all the love that the Holy Spirit pours on us. That's what's happening. That's what's happening every moment. Why would we not want to pay attention to that? Why would we not want to notice whether things are going good, bad, or indifferent, that God is still pouring love down upon us? My overarching image of God always is one of love. It's not one of anger. It's not one of wrath. It's not one of condemnation. It's not one of get your life right or else. It's one of love. And what are most people looking for in this world? They're looking for love. Whether it's love in possessions, whether it's love in purpose, whether it's love in their work, love in their family, they're looking for love. And Scripture tells me that God is continually pouring this love down on us, and many people don't stop to see it. And when God pours this love down upon us, I can walk through anything. Anything. I go back and I read the lives of the saints, and some of them walk through the most incredible things. Not all of them live. But they were able to walk through the most incredible things because they understood that God loved them. And that God was pouring that love on them. How a man by the name of Polycarp did that while they burned him at the stake, I don't know. I would encourage you to read Polycarp's story. Incredible man. Wise, intelligent. They burned him at the stake. And he said he would not turn from God no matter what. He knew that love that God was pouring out upon him. And he wanted to show that love even in a desperate situation to other people. How incredible is that? Knowing the fullness of God's love comes when we're in full relationship with the Holy Spirit. Our scriptures tell us that God's in heaven and that Jesus has ascended to sit at his right hand and is there at this moment praying for us. He's not walking here on earth any longer. But the scriptures tell me, Jesus especially in his last night, go to the Gospel of John, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus says, if I ascend to heaven, I will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes in his words, he says that you now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives within you. And will teach you everything that Jesus taught. Will remind you, will give you the peace and the love that you need. And continually pouring that love over and over and over again. So who is it that we need to have the biggest relationship with? The Holy Spirit, the one who is here. Because our word, our scriptures tell us that God and Jesus are not. But the Holy Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will nudge you to do things. You ever had that happen? You ever heard a voice that said, hey, it'd be a good thing right now if you called such and such. And have you ever called that person when that happens and they say, I'm so glad that you called because I needed to talk to somebody. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you to do that. Has the Holy Spirit ever asked you to go do something for someone? Has the Holy Spirit ever said, it's time to pull your Bible out and look at Psalm 66? Folks, we need to know that Holy Spirit. We need to understand that Holy Spirit because it lives within us once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's how we have a right relationship with God. So I want to ask you, are you in an active relationship with the Holy Spirit? Allowing you to know and live God's love? Are you constantly looking for another bucket to contain the love that God's pouring on you? Do you realize how much of it there is? The secret is, it's not for us to contain. God pours that much love upon us because that love needs to go to other people in this world. There's no law, no government that will make things right. But when God changes people's hearts, that's what will make things right. So when God pours that love into us, we need to share that love with other people. Do you have an active relationship receiving that love and using it? Let's pray. God, we can. come to you because we need to. Sometimes we walk our whole day without thinking about you. Shall I say, sometimes we walk a major portion of our day without thinking about you. We may stop in the morning to meet with you and to pray. We may stop at meal times to say grace. But so many times we're not actively aware of what the Holy Spirit is bringing us. And sometimes we're looking to avoid what the Holy Spirit brings to us. Lord, help us to see your love. Help us to receive it. But help us to give it away as freely as it comes. The people's hearts in this world might change to have a relationship with you. Because, Lord, that's the only thing that's going to change what's going on. There is nothing else. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Do you need to step forward? Do you need to recommit your life, join the church, accept Jesus Christ for the first time? Or do you just need to come forward and sit and pray? As we stand together and sing.